And here's the second half of the interview with Jason Potash, where he continues to talk about his product launch for Article Announcer, where he did more than $185,000 in sales in 24 hours. And the sales did not stop there. They kept on pouring in. So let's get to it. Here's Jason.
And so tell me, when you say you sold out in 24 hours, what does that mean?
That's a good question. I know that people play games, especially in our industry. It's not exclusive to our industry, but, you know, the internet marketing, internet marketers, a lot of people that even we know, use not deceptive tactics, but they use a little bit of trickery, quote unquote, even if they're, you know, legitimate and straight up people. Sometimes they'll say, oh, you know, there's limited quantities available, or you have to order by this date, otherwise it's off the tables. And in many cases, that's legitimate. In some cases, it's a little bit of you want to kick people in the butt to get them to respond and that kind of thing. And that's totally fine. But one of the things I knew is that a lot of people, again, are just skeptical. If you say to somebody, you know, either we're pulling this thing off the market in 3 weeks or limited quantities available. I mean, I've been involved where I've received emails from people where they said they're pulling it off the market, and then 2 weeks later it's like, oh, by the way, you know, the warehouse had a flood and there was an extra 1,000 units that we didn't realize in the back corner, and there was some water damage, and guess what? We're selling these 1,000 now, like, right away. So, I mean, you know, it's like, oh, gee, didn't see this coming a mile away, you know what I mean? There's some kind of a slick tactic or maneuver that's orchestrated in the background. And again, many people are just, they've heard enough and they're skeptical and they're just tired of any tricks. And as I say, their BS detector is like turned on full blast all the time. Every time it's like, oh, is this BS? BS, don't believe it, BS, prove it. Yeah, I'm skeptical. Yeah, I've heard it before. So in the actual sales letter itself, and I had 500 copies done of the product. Actually, I had a few more, but I had 500 copies done. I had to pull 10 of those copies because a few of my JV partners and beta testers with software and wanted to get the physical product. And I said, that's totally cool, no problem. So I had to pull 10 from inventory and had a few others done as well that I sent to people before the launch. And that number, I thought, well, 490 is kind of a weird number. And you know, I mean, is this real, believable? So I actually took a screen capture, and it's still on the website now. I left it there for now. I took a screen capture of my inventory levels within my online, you know, control panel with a fulfillment company that I used. It shows all the products there, and it shows quantity on hand, 490 units, you know, quantity sold, zero. So they can, and I say, look, like, this is a screen capture right from my affiliate panel. You know, these numbers aren't doctored. This is real. So I'm telling you that, you know, once these initial quantities sell out, we are going to sell the product again, but, you know, we could sell out in a week. We could sell out in 4 days. I mean, I don't know. The bottom line is, if you don't act fast, you could be on the waiting list to get more product. And to be honest, I thought we'd probably do, you know, 300 units. You know, it's tough because you don't want to be overly optimistic and say, oh, we're going to blow through these like in no time at all. I better do 2,000 copies because, you know, this is going to be a winner and everything else. Yet you don't want to do 100 copies and then totally just shoot yourself in the foot after doing all that work. And after talking to people, you know, who had successful launches, and many of the friends that you know as well and we share, I wanted to just get their feedback on, you know, here's the product, here's the market, here's the price point. You know, let's get some feedback from some respected marketers. And it seemed like that 500 was a good number with a bit of padding, where I wasn't gonna, you know, sell out, you know, right away. And well, boy, was I wrong. I guess I really did, you know, prime the pump more than I thought with all the steps that we talked about, and people just hammered that order page and just went nuts. And within 24 hours, we blew through all 490 units.
Wow.
Yeah, it was just like, it was totally insane. And that created, of course, a backlog, and people were waiting a couple weeks to get product. But the thing I did, though, is I right away when we sold out, the next day, I put up a notification in bold letters on the top of the webpage saying, you know, note, we sold out the initial inventory of 490 units within 24 hours. You know, however, you can still order, but there's a 2 to 3 week shipping delay that is now in effect. And I mean, I'm sure I lost a few sales from people saying, oh, well, forget that. I'm not waiting that long. That's fine. But I'd rather, again, put my cards on the table, be open with people, and say, look, like, it was right there, front and center, man. You knew there was a delay happening here. I'm not trying to, you know, avoid you or play games and saying, oops, thanks for your order. By the way, you know, it's going to be a 2 week delay, because that's really going to aggravate people. So cards on the table, and most people are pretty good with it. Like, you know, you get a few people who are cranky and angry and expect you to, you know, literally hop on a plane and fly over there just to make them happy. But that's like any business. You have 99% of the great customers and the 1% who whatever you do, it seems like they're never quite satisfied. But for the most part, people were very excited about receiving the product. I mean, it was just social proof that I know you're a big believer in, that so many people hopped all over this, and it did legitimately sell out. And why would I put up a note saying a 2 to 3 week shipping delay when, you know, either there was no delay or whatever? I mean, you know, I'm trying to be open and honest with people. But the fact that we sold out so quickly, I think just, you know, told people that this thing is a hot product, and obviously a lot of people are like you, thinking that they want this right away. So you might as well go ahead and order now, you know, because we've already proven that a lot of people want this product as well. It's not that we're going to sell 20 copies and then, you know, just wait and see what happens. So yep. It was a big hit.
So Jason, I don't have a calculator handy, but just rough calculations, that's, you know, somewhere around $185,000 in sales.
Yeah.
In the first 24 hours.
Let me get my calculator here and see. Yeah, it's too early in the morning to do math, isn't it? Yeah, we're looking at $185,710, roughly.
Yeah. Congratulations. That's fantastic.
Thank you.
That'll pay for a few lattes there.
Oh, yeah.
That's fantastic. Did you have any problems? And I know this is the thing that people don't get, is that we're talking $185,000 in 24 hours, but the sales don't stop after 24 hours.
Well, that's right. Yeah, they keep going. And there's obviously, it's kind of like a bell curve where you have that big initial peak and launch, and it kind of slowly it tops out, and you see a slow kind of a downward slope. The good thing is it never hits rock bottom where you have no sales. Mm-hmm. I'm waiting to see what happens now where it's sort of coming down. We're still getting a few spikes here and there, but it's exciting when it stabilizes to say, well, okay, how many copies are we going to sell a day after the dust settles and everything else? And even, you know, worst case scenario, at one copy a day, you know, because it's a fairly high priced product, at one copy a day, you know, times 30 days, according to my calculator, you're over $11,000 in sales, which I'd be happy with that even all day long. If I had a few profit centers bringing me in 11 grand each per product, yeah. I mean, you know, you'd easily get yourself up to 50K a month, within a year or so.
And the way you set this up with the PDF and the video reports and the blogs, if I had to guess, I have a little experience in this stuff. You know, those type of things are that's long-term marketing that's going to stick with you, and you're going to continue.
Yeah, yeah. So that's exciting, too, to think that, you know, all that hard work paid off. It was a one-time deal, but obviously, you know, those are seeds in the ground that I have planted, and even though I'm not looking back over my shoulder and seeing what's happening, those seeds are continuing to flourish and to bloom and to bring, you know, to grow and to bring more people to my site, and obviously convert them into hopefully paying customers by doing that work one time and busting my chops and putting late nights in and neglecting my kids like we all do from time to time when we're working at home. That's all paying off now in spades, even well after the launch. It'll continue to go, I'm sure, for years to come by just having done that right initially through the launch process. So that's very exciting.
Absolutely. Did you have any problems with your merchant accounts, your merchant providers, PayPal?
Yeah, I mean, and that's something that I haven't found anybody yet who has knock the ball out of the park and done, you know, 6 figures or more, in some cases 7 figures, like a couple of our buddies, John Reese and Frank Kern. And I haven't heard of too many people who have done that kind of business and have had no issues with either their website going down or videos that can't stream or the web server just getting crippled because there's so many people hammering that thing where just the pages don't load or problems with the order page itself where people can't actually order and they're hitting the order link and they're getting some weird error message because you're really maxing out. I mean, if you have an infrastructure in place, you know, you are really maxing out every element in that infrastructure, right from the website itself to the report, right to the buy button, to the actual merchant account. And you know, you can go and try to beef up things as much as you can. And I talked to our buddy John Reese about this, and I mean, he has his own hosting company, so he had like enough muscle in terms of web servers to power like, you know, CNN.com, and he had multiple overload servers and redundant servers, and just, you know, there was every angle covered there, and he still got hammered so bad. Mind you, the hurricane didn't help much either. But he still got hammered so bad on launch date that they had server problems and people. I mean, I went to the site and it loaded like the top graphic and the bottom footer of the page, and then that was basically it. Like, and I kept pressing refresh, and I called John, said, "Hey, man, like, just let you know." And he's like, "Yeah, I know." He goes, "You know, crap, we're just rolling with the punches here." And I'm like, "Man, you feel bad, but I mean." And I had similar experiences myself, and it's tough to deal with. And the weird thing is, like, this is what really blew my mind, is after this happened, I mean, I had to basically, long story short, I was using two payment processors, and the one payment processor, people were having problems ordering from overseas. It wasn't accepting their country, and they couldn't, you know, get the shipping details if they lived in Australia or New Zealand or Great Britain, and it's huge markets over there. And they're emailing me saying, "What's going on? I want to order. I can't order." I'm like, "You know what? I got to make an executive decision, pull the plug on one of my payment processors," and I went 100% PayPal, which, in retrospect, was probably a good idea, because PayPal, I mean, you pump through $145,000 or so in one day, and you know what? I'm thinking, like, they're going to be freaked out. They're like, "You know, no, not a big deal." I mean, wow. they do so much business. And I'm sure there's eBay power sellers who are doing insane amounts of money that they called me, obviously, and goes, "Yeah, we noticed an increase in your activity on your account." And I go, "Oh, yeah." And they said, "But, you know, just want to make sure that, you know, you're shipping product, that you're a legitimate business. You're not going to take this money and, like, you know, leave town and change your name or anything," which I'm sure could happen easily. Mm-hmm. You know, and they're very professional. And I, again, gave them all my references. They called my merchants, called my vendors. We're totally cool about it. And they're slowly releasing my funds now, which is another issue when, you know, they're kind of holding you hostage and you've got to pay vendors and affiliates and dance on a hot plate to pull, $60,000 out of thin air.
And one other thing I need to point out is that you have a pretty good history already
with
PayPal.
Exactly, so, yeah. You know, I had some pretty good spikes with them.
Yeah, so if there's someone out there who is hearing this interview and they don't have any record at all with PayPal, and you want to go run $125,000 through in a day, then you might have some issues that Jason doesn't.
Yeah, and you should contact them ahead of time, which I did. I said, "You know, by the way, I got a big launch happening. I'll be doing, I figured, probably about, you know, $80,000 or $100,000 in like a couple of days," and just to warn them. And they got the warning, and this, I've covered myself that way. So, but I agree, though. I had a history with them. I was already, you know, pumping through on every other month $30,000-$40,000. It wasn't like, "Wow, what's going on here? This guy opened an account last week, and now he's funneling through $148,000. Like, what's going on here?" Right? And that was a big factor. But I mean, in terms of the launch, we had some issues, had some challenges. I mean, I talked about earlier, the amazing thing is that, I mean, even on launch day, people were emailing me and they were like accusing me of using this, you know, like, "Oh, this is so lame. This is so old. This marketing ploy is pathetic. I mean, first Reese did it and then, you know, Frank Kern did it." And I'm talking about, you know, the bumps and the hurdles you encounter, and people thinking that you took the site down on purpose, people thinking that you made the story up that, like, this merchant processor wasn't accepting overseas payments, or you made some story that, you know, I had to take the site down because there was too much traffic. I mean, and people think now it's sort of part of the marketing process where you launch on a certain day, and then after an hour or whatever, or after the first 10 minutes, you take the site down. And I'm just, like, shaking my head saying, "Oh, my gosh." I'm thinking, you know, you've got to be a bit of a moron when you've got, like, thousands of people who have been, you know, primed and groomed, and you've done your work, and they are so anxious to hit that order page, and you're blatantly pissing them off and making them angry because they can't order the product. I had a couple people email me, say, "You know what? I tried for half an hour. You guys had delays. This is BS. You know, I can't wait around any longer, and I'm not going to do business with people who use tactics like this." And of course, I replied, but, you know, at that point in time, I don't mean, maybe that's just the way they are or whatever. Right. But it just really opened my eyes to just the BS detector again. People have the amount of skepticism and just doubt they have in their minds, in the eyes of, you know, legitimate marketers like me and you and many people listening to this call. And I mean, again, that's probably more specific to the online marketing crowd. I'm sure Jeff and some of your other markets, like day traders and so forth, you don't get the same kind of response. We're kind of, you know, we're marketing to savvy marketers, and in many cases they're like, "Yeah, whatever, I've heard this." But so again, it's good to know ahead of time the customer prospect you're dealing with, what makes them tick, what makes them live and breathe, any doubts or skepticism in their mind, and how they might take something you say or put out there is something that is totally an underhanded tactic or some kind of a sleazy sales job or a deliberate maneuver to, get more clicks or to get more subscribers or to create scarcity, whatever it might be. And again, I just was completely unaware to the degree of skepticism out there. So lesson learned.
Yeah, that's a great point, that you have to understand your market and understand actually any market these days. People are far more skeptical than they were 5 years ago and far more skeptical than they were 10 years ago. Because frankly, no matter who you are, any internet user out there gets all kinds of spam every day. So they're used to, even at that level, they're seeing stuff coming into their inbox that's just completely fraudulent.
Mm-hmm. You read the papers.
And so everyone is more skeptical. And, I did that. You mentioned the trading market. In the day trading market, I did like an online seminar, and we had one that was, we were doing like a chat-based thing and using Java programming. And, Java's it really tear apart a server. And
oh, yeah.
I thought we set this thing up so we could fit, like, I think it was 50 people into the seminar. And I did a launch, and we sold out these 50, like, within minutes, literally. And it was, a fairly high-priced thing, but I think it was under an hour. And so I'm like, I've sold way more. Obviously, I got way more demand than I've got capacity. So I'm like, oh, what do I do? So I immediately get on the phone and I'm talking to my server, the software people, and my hosting people. I'm like, hey, is there any possible way we can get more people on? And they're like, well, yeah, if we switch this over to like a dedicated machine and blah 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 blah, and all this tech stuff that I don't understand, but we could get you like 100 people on this thing. We can double your capacity. So I, instantly put out an email to people saying, good news and bad news. The bad news is we sold out all 50 spots. The good news is I found a way to get 50 more spots. So we got 50 more spots. And I got an email from someone right away. It said, oh, this is obviously a scam. An hour ago, 2 hours ago, you said we only had 50 spots. Now you say we got 100 spots. You obviously had this planned all along, blah, 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 blah. And I didn't. But the good news is I just responded to him and I said, hey, let me tell you about this. It's like, we're using Java and it's very intensive. We couldn't do it. Now we got to move to a different server. And the good news is generally if you do make if you reply honestly and quickly to those people, you can usually turn them around and they become a raving fan. Mm-hmm. But and I'm sure you probably found that as well. But your point is a very good one, and is that you can't be deceptive, and you have to be careful that you don't look deceptive, and you have to, every step of the way, like you were talking about doing the videos and you're pulling up CNN to show people as proof. And anytime you can establish proof, and frankly, Jason, your copy is all great copy. I've read it for years.
Thank you.
And if you write as a normal guy and you come across as a normal guy and you are a normal guy and all these elements, giving them proof and explaining and giving the reason why and being responsive, even in the most skeptical of markets, you will still, I think it's still possible to come across as believable and have people listen to your message and really believe you. And yeah, there always will be those skeptics, and frankly, we just can't worry about them, but you have to be aware of them. So got off on a little bit of a rant there.
Yeah, well, the bottom line is that we've been talking about reasons why throughout the call, and I think that's just a huge takeaway people should put on their post-it note and stick to their monitor, is that anytime you're doing something, it's put a reason why. And I even actually, last week, I think it was, I got an announcement for a teleclass that a couple of people are putting together who you and I know, and I won't mention names. Again, respected marketers, savvy marketers. And in the actual in the email or on the actual landing page, here's a teleseminar and it's X amount of dollars, and they're like, oh, but we only have, 97 seats because there are some quote unquote technological limitations to why we can only offer 97 seats. And I'm like, come on. I mean, give me a flipping break. This story has been used like so many times now. Anybody knows that if you've got the money, you can get 1,000 people on a bridge line if you have, $2,000 to spend or $3,000 to spend, whatever the amount is, you can get 5,000 people on a bridge line if you had to. It just comes down to money. So there's no bridge line that's like, well, we really only have 100 lines, and that's sort of the maximum we can really, get here. People see right through that. And even like you said, Jeff, in the day trading market, people are still skeptical and aware of some of the deceptive tactics that advertisers and marketers use, and they look at things, you know, kind of with a cockeyed and one eye open, saying, well, "Come on, I mean, this is just not true. This is obviously some kind of a sales trick or something." So if you can give a legitimate reason why, or even like in your example, say, "You know what? Hey, you know, here's a." Explain the reason why that, you know, it's a Java client, and without going into technical details, with limitations and da da da, and just provide proof. As you said, people will a lot more believe you than just saying, "Hey, guess what? You know, we've just lucked out, and now we have more slots available." And some will be skeptical, but if you can just go the extra mile and make it believable, and you know, explain a little bit some of the boring stuff and the reasons why you're doing this, that's just going to, you know, give you a huge credibility boost and often sales boost in your customers' eyes.
Yeah, and the thing that has sort of been unsaid, but I know it's foremost in your mind and my mind as well. So I just want to make it. I want to say it and make it real clear. People are out there are looking at you skeptically, and it isn't just to find that little chink in your armor. It's like when they do find that chink in their armor, then they say, okay, now I just can turn this guy completely off. I'm not going to believe anything he said because he lied to me about this. So if everything isn't congruent and anywhere in there they're led to believe that you're misleading them, then you just shot yourself completely in the foot. You shot yourself in the head. Because, you know, if they disprove one thing, if they don't believe you about one thing, then they're not going to believe you anywhere throughout your sales
process. Well, something to also be very aware of, and I'm not sure if this is the case in markets you're in, like the day trading market or short traders, if you have like message boards and discussion groups and forums and blogs where people are openly discussing what's going on and that kind of thing. But in our market, you know, the online marketing crowd, something you have to be aware of, and I know this has happened to many of our friends, is that the minute there's a quote-unquote kink in your armor, or the minute somebody's skeptical, or the minute, you know, somebody feels aggravated or they're angry or something, a lot of these people love to just trottle over to the, is that even a word, trottle, or or walk over to the message boards and openly view their dirty laundry in the message board, saying, "Hey, you know, this guy Jeff Walker is a scammer, you know, get this, he just said there's only 50 slots available for this new teleclass, and lo and behold, he magically found another 50 slots 2 days later. I'm so sick of this lame marketing, you know, bag of tricks and smoke and mirrors, you know, how about you guys, how do you feel?" And they put it out there, and then, you know, there's always somebody who's looking for a friend to, you know,
content.
Yeah, and then like bang, 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 bang. I mean, luckily you'll have people who will post and defend you, but that's always, you got to look over your shoulder and say, you know what, I've got to be straight up with people and cover my butt and make sure that I'm legitimately putting my cards on the table, because there's always a handful of people that just, you know, love to go to the message boards and just do anything they can. And often it's jealousy. Often they're just negative people. Often, you know, it's like people read the tabloids. They're just driven by negative information. They love gossip. They love to create controversy. And a lot of time they just love to sort of, you know, poke a knife in your back or even a thorn in your side just to hopefully side rail you for whatever reason. So it's just something to be aware of, that, you know, there is that open forum that can, and I guess it's just like, even if you have a consumer product, if the product is a joke and there's a recall, you go to like I think it's eopinions.com, and many people or consumersreports.com, and they hit these sites, or even amazon.com now, you have the buyer feedback where you can go and see, well, what are people saying about this? You go to eBay, you know, what are they saying about this seller? And if you know, don't play your cards right, and you know, just mess up again and again and aggravate people, well, that's going to show up again in the feedback, and you may lose customers who see that and go, well, you know what, if this guy's saying these negative things and if he's had a bad experience, well, what's going to happen with me? And they may just totally back away from you altogether, and ultimately you lose the sale.
Mm-hmm. So, Jason, can you bring us up to date on your, because you, after your launch, you did your launch on the 28th, and you had some spectacular results, and you had some great results in the following days, but tell us about your little mini vacation earlier this week. This is another good lesson.
Oh, man. Yeah. Well, you know, thinking that my server problems are over, and again, the site got hammered on the first day and second day, and we had the issues with one of our payment processors I provided, and then I came out of this thing swinging, and we got inventory in stock, and just keeping open dialogue with my customers, and even the ones that are cranky. And I understand fully where they're coming from. They're anxious. They want product. I've got a customer support team that's been like literally putting 15-hour days in just to maintain open dialogue with customers and to look up their orders and, you know, keep them happy as days are ticking away. And it could be a ticking time bomb depending on how you handle it or don't handle it. But for the most part, you know, they've been very understanding, and we've processed a few refunds, but nothing in compared to the amount of sales we've done over the past week. So I decided to get away. I mean, I've been just, I mean, as you know, Jeff, it's just a huge emotional and physical drain, even going back to like March of this year and getting the reports out there and getting this the prime pumped and getting my JV and affiliate partners in line. And it's just been work. And finally now the money's coming in and the issues are being resolved with delays and shipping. I'm just feeling, you know, like the stress relief happening on a daily basis. Still stressed, but you're kind of like, okay, this is great. We're getting out of the woods now. So I thought, you know, I owe it to my family and my kids just to get away. I mean, you know, my poor boys, I mean, I haven't been around in the evenings. I've been having sometimes, you know, a supper alone with my wife. And I thought, you know, daddy's got to get back with the kids and let's just go away. And it's the first time in 2 years, honestly, that, you know, I mean, and anybody who's running an online business or an offline business, you know, you feel the need to stay connected with what's happening back at base camp, right? And I've always been guilty of checking a voicemail while we're away a few times a day, you know, kind of escaping while the family's playing and just, you know, getting my laptop powered up and checking email. And usually, as you know, Jeff, every internet marketer I've spoken to, if I've spoken to their spouse, if it's, you know, a female friend or a male friend, it's always the big joke is that, oh, honey, I'm just going to check a couple of quick emails. I'll be like 5 minutes. And like this 2 hour window just goes and vanishes, right? It's, you know, oh, I'm going to bed in a second. I'm just going to check my stats here. I'll be in bed in a second. And then like, bam, 2:30 in the morning. And your wife is like, well, what happened? You know, what's going on here? And you're still there hammering away at the keyboard. So, and I was no different. So I said, you know, I'm going to just turn the cell phone off. I told my support staff, like, you know, you guys are doing a great job. You're handling things. I don't need to be here. So I'm taking a 2 day power vacation, not even a full 2 days. It's probably more like, 42 hour vacation. So I packed up the kids, minivan. We took off Sunday morning and had a great time playing at the pool, going to the beach, you know, just having lots of laughs and just really great time to kind of connect with the family, which is important. And then all the while, I was unknown to me. In the background, there was just this huge inferno burning and major issues happening. And I'm here, you know, laughing and throwing a beach ball around with my kids at the beach. Well, what happened basically was that it seems like a few of my affiliates were still pressing the send button and really promoting the product even after the fact. And our web server just got hammered again. I mean, more so than ever before. And it seemed like, in particular, people were hitting that video and they were streaming that video like, you know, every few seconds, bam, somebody would hit it. And it's like a 5 meg video. And if you know anything about web hosting, you usually have bandwidth limits on how much bandwidth you can use. Well, what ended up happening was I had a lot of bandwidth on this account. It wasn't like some Mickey Mouse $5 hosting account. Is we basically shot through our bandwidth limit for the month in a matter of a few days. It just boom. And, I mean, normally, I mean, again, talk about lessons learned, right? And kind of trying to have plan Bs and so forth. With normal web hosting companies, what should have happened, they should have given me repeated warnings saying, you know what, your traffic has exceeded the limit of the month. Kind of, what do you want to do? Two options. You either shut the traffic down, or you change to a dedicated server, or we'll send you a nice fat bill for the overcharges and the extra traffic you've used, and you must pay the, you know, this bill at the end of the month, blah, blah, blah. Or if they want to shut the site down, the normal protocol is to put a message up saying bandwidth limit has exceeded on this server or something like that. And then it happened to me years ago with another site that was hosted on one of these like $10 accounts. And I mean, it's totally my fault. And when people see that message, they're pretty savvy to know that, okay, well, obviously there's too much traffic and something's going on and they took the site down temporarily. Well, what this bimbo web hosting company did, and I use the bimbo term, you know, there's other words I could use, which I won't, but you get the drift. I'm extremely aggravated with them.
That's a technical internet marketing term.
Yeah, or knuckleheads or idiots. I mean, most hosting companies will put up that sign saying, you know, worst case scenario, bandwidth limit exceeded, and people know, hey, okay, no, traffic is just ballooned. What these guys did, they put up a site saying, this account has been suspended until further notice. And that was in big black, like I'm talking Arial bold font, like 14 point, like massive font, just bang, hitting you in the face when you hit the site. And that just, I mean, customers were calling and emailing saying, and what's going on? Is the site shut down? Has the product like disappeared? Is this guy Jason just scammed us? Like, you know, you can imagine the backlash. And I come back to this on Monday night at like 8 o'clock.
And they put that up just a It just so happened it was just a few hours after you left on your
Exactly. No warnings, nothing. I mean, you know, I would have gladly paid an extra few hundred dollars in overcharges to cover that bandwidth. I mean, these people have the bandwidth. It's not like, you know, we're maxed out. We got to shut the fort down here. I mean, any web hosting company can handle that kind of bandwidth spike. I mean, and I guess, you know, obviously I do blame myself partially because I wasn't aware of their policy when that problem does happen. Again, it's a good problem to have because we just shot through our bandwidth limit, but what happens when you shoot through a bandwidth limit? What are they going to do and what are they not going to do? What happens if you have a credit card on file? Maybe it's expired. You weren't aware of it. And all of a sudden you're on vacation now and they hit your credit card, they charge your credit card. It gets declined, not because there's no room, because the expiry date has passed. What do? Will they shut your site down the next day? And I've noticed this with another hosting company I had. They will do that. They will shut your site down the day after your card is declined, which again is a total joke. And I mean, what happens if, you know, what happens if that web hosting company goes out of business for whatever reason or gets shut down themselves and now your site is totally offline? Do you have a backup plan to get that site shifted onto a secondary set of name servers or DNS servers where you can make that shift easily? And within a few hours, you're back in the game, you're back on the rails without scrambling around like I was trying to pull my site off this totally loser web hosting company and get it onto a different, more reliable provider. So, you know, you talk about lessons learned. And again, I try to cross my T's and dot my I's as best I can, but this is something that I just had no idea would have happened. And I had people actually emailing me on the day or the day after. And of course, I immediately went home, emailed all my customers and explained to them what happened. I gave them, again, the reason why, the total truth of what happened, even explaining, you know, me having a great time with my kids and getting away with family and blah, blah, blah. And then here's the nightmare I came home to. So everyone knew what happened. And I had at least five people who either had hosting companies or had relationships with hosting companies saying, you know what, man, that is total BS. And I think that the company you're dealing with is like, you know, anti-business almost. They have no business savvy to begin with. Because if you're getting a lot of traffic to a site, it, you know, I mean, 99.9% of the time means that you're just getting a crap load of legitimate traffic coming to your site, and obviously you want to have that traffic. In a rare instance, you're getting a denial of service attack or something like that. But let's be honest, in our business, those chances are slim to none that that's going to happen. So you need that traffic. You want that traffic. When the flood is happening, you want to open the floodgates and just keep that traffic coming. You don't want to shut it down and say, oh, this is bad. This traffic is bad. It's just, it's really maxing out our servers. We got to shut this whole ship down and get this traffic away. I mean, again, you've got to be a loser company. And I won't give the name of the web hosting company. If people want it, they can email you and whatever. We'll talk about it offline. But yeah, it's just a real bad situation. And once again, it's opened my eyes in terms of now how I weigh my providers and what questions I ask them. Like, okay, here's the five worst case scenarios. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. What will you do in these scenarios? So at least I know now that if these issues happen, which may be rare and extreme circumstances, but I've just found that Murphy's Law is something that really, especially in the online world, it tends to happen more often than we like or we think, especially with these massive product launches and floods of traffic and just, you know, cash flowing through a merchant account like a Vegas casino on a Friday night. You know what I mean? Like, it's just important things to know up front to try to prepare yourself, you know, for the storm when it hits.
Right. So what time was it when you walked in the door from your vacation? Like, did you get back in the evening?
Well, again, it's just sort of hindsight 2020, and you feel like, is somebody out to get me here? Because the hosting company that I use, the strange thing is, when they closed my site down on Sunday, their help desk isn't even open on Sunday. So even if I was home on Sunday, I couldn't have called and said, hey, man, what's the deal? Like, my site's down. Like, can you put it back up? I'll pay the overcharges. There is no help desk on Sunday. So I was screwed anyway. You slice it on Sunday. I mean, I could have, of course, moved the site over to different servers, which I did anyway, but I couldn't have got them to resolve the problem right away. Monday, again, I was away. Of course, they were open on Monday. Their help desk is open from, I think, 8 a.m. to, like, 5 p.m. I had planned to be home at around 4-ish, and to tell you the truth, I was having such a blast with the family, and we went to see my wife's parents, and the kids were having a blast seeing Grandma and Grandpa. It was a great sunny day, and we ended up staying later than we should have. We drove back here, and I rolled in at about 8 o'clock, you know, like a good father, helped my wife put the young ones to bed. I've got, you know, three kids under 4, so it's a bit crazy at times. Got them to bed. They got settled down. I thought, you know, I might as well then come back to reality and check the emails.
You gotta check your.
Yeah, like, let's see what's going on here and check the voice. And I had like 17 voicemails from a lot of my friends saying, "Dude, what's the deal? Your site's down. I'm sure you're aware of it. Like, what's going on?" And like, and second or third or more emails saying like, "Jason, like, did you get my emails? I'm concerned. Is everything all right? Like, what's going on? Your site's been down." And again, I got the emails and I'm like, you know, it's all urgent, 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 urgent. I'm like, oh man, what is going on here? So, I mean, it really hit the fan once I got online about 9 o'clock that night, and I ended up having to, you know, at that point get another dedicated server on a completely different web host, change everything over. I called the web host in the morning that I was using, and you know, I could have just really gone off on them. And I'm a big believer that's not going to get you anywhere when you're trying to negotiate something. So I said, look, you must turn the traffic on immediately. I'm getting massive complaints. I will escalate this further if you choose to continue blocking my traffic. And I said, I'm moving this off to a dedicated server in the next few hours, so it won't be an issue, you know, with any more traffic. And they said, okay, well, we'll do it, sure, no problem. And they moved it, and they reenacted the site, which took a couple hours to kick in, and that took the heat off. And in the meantime, you know, I was changing over to the new server, and as you know, that takes upwards of 24 hours to have that change happen. So we kind of resolved it, but man, I was up to like 3 o'clock that morning, and it's just, I mean, going from the pan into the fire, you're all relaxed and you're feeling great, and it's just like, welcome back, bam, you know. And all that the stress that melted away just came back in spades, you know, when I got back. But you know, hey, again, good problems to have in light of things where I had a great payday and money still coming in. So you know, if I made 10 grand, I might be a little bit unhappy, but you know, in the grand scheme of things, that keeps you focused, keeps you motivated, keeps you getting back on the saddle and just keep riding this thing through.
And so then when you came back, you sent out an email telling people, you know, giving them the story, you know, this is what happened.
Yeah.
Did that, and you got some responses to that email. Did that also help your marketing, that email?
I think it helped my marketing in the sense that, again, just being real with people, being honest with people, not trying to hide things from people. I could have made some cockamaniac story up, I mean, you know, who, whatever. And I just, look, here's the harsh reality. And, I can't say it spiked my sales to a great degree, but I think it just really saved face with a lot of my customers and subscribers. Again, just made them realize that I'm an honest man of integrity. I'm not trying to pull the wool over anybody's eyes, but I received a lot of positive feedback from people saying, you know, you did the right thing. It was great. You stepped away. And, you know, I mean, you can't be penalized for turning your cell phone off. It's totally a fluke thing. It shouldn't have happened. It wasn't like that. Again, it wasn't like I was building my business on a bit of quicksand with a $5 hosting company. I had gone through the correct measures to try to prepare for this as best I could, with, you know, obviously without understanding their policy when you hit the bandwidth limitations, and a lot of great feedback. And also, I got a couple of people emailing me saying, again, like, this is so lame. You take the site down again. Like, we've already seen this happen. And funny enough, my buddy Henrik Silver emailed me when I got back, and he's like, hey, man, your site's down. Were you aware of this? And I go, yeah. And he goes, by the way, he goes, go to Anthony Blake's board. There's a few people posting about what happened, like, what's the deal with the site? It's down. He goes, you might want to step in there and just defend yourself or tell people what happened. So this is like a day after it happened. So I go to the Blake's board, and the first thing I find is a post by somebody saying, what's the deal with Yannick Silver? He puts these videos out there. I hit the link, and the videos aren't streaming. Like, apparently the servers are overloaded. This is such BS, like, you know, trying to create scarcity or get people intrigued enough to say, like, wow, like, what's going on? These videos are offline. I want to see them. And he goes, we've heard this before. And I'm like, I'm just laughing to myself. And I replied to Yannick. I said, Yannick, FYI, you better check out the board yourself because we're in the same boat, brother. And you know, it's just, what do? You roll your eyes, and most people are pretty good about it. But, you know, there's always people that are skeptical and think that it's just some genius marketing ploy. And in my email to people, I said, like, yeah, I'm a marketing genius. I mean, I take my site down for 2 days. I aggravate my customers and subscribers. I really piss off my affiliates who are sending traffic to a site that doesn't convert because people aren't be able to order the product, or they just get angry and they never come back again, and you lose the sale. I'm losing face with my customers and my subscribers. I'm given the impression that I perhaps operate a shoddy operation that's, you know, built on a bit of quicksand, or that my business was shut down by who? By the FTC, by the spam cops who complained to my web host, or did I just close up town and say, hey, I'm going to cash my check and, you know, buy a hut in the Bahamas for 30 grand and retire? I mean, who knows? I mean, this was not a good thing to happen. Right. Not for 2 hours, for 2 whole days. And I said in my email, you know, I've got to be the biggest marketing moron on the planet if this was some carefully orchestrated, you know, slick marketing tactic to get more sales, because I just totally shot myself in the foot. And if you can't see that, then, you know, I don't know what else I can do to prove to you that this was not a wise move if it was done on purpose. And I think most people got the message.
Yeah.
You know.
And so when you sent that email, like you said, you got a bunch of responses, mm-hmm. you know, and some of them were sympathetic and some were just thanking them, thank you for updating them. And, but I mean, to me, that, and I don't want to, again, you know, this is something you don't want to happen, as you pointed out. I mean, it's like the last thing you want to happen. But that response, that interaction you're creating, what you did the right thing by sending that email, by telling people, you know, and using it as, not, I don't want to use the term excuse, but you took a negative, a big negative, and turned it into somewhat of a positive. Because when you're getting that kind of response and that kind of interaction with people, that's almost, I mean, that's relationship capital that you're putting in the bank for, if not for this product, for your next product and your next launch, your next promotion.
Well, one thing real quick I want to add is that some people responded to me and said, like, wow, like, I can't believe you got that much traffic. That's unbelievable. And some actually said, well, I'm glad I ordered the product when I did, because obviously there's still a ton of excitement and buzz about the product. And a few people had similar comments saying, wow, you know, hey, it's a great problem to have. It's a shame, and it really sucks that they shut you down. But, I mean, and even the title of my email was like, you know, Jason Potash gets shut down, or articleanswer.com gets shut down. And people were like, what's going on? This is just, I got to read this thing. What the hell is happening with this guy? You know, like, and I think that also, it was social proof that, yeah, we're getting hammered with more traffic, even, you know, 2 weeks or a week after the launch happened. And still, why are people so, you know, just thrilled with this video? And what's so awesome about it that there's all kinds of people hitting this play button? So, I turned that into a bit of a motivator for them to go, you know, here's the video, you can check it out for yourself, and oh, don't worry, our servers are totally up to speed now, so you can feel free to play it 2 or 3 times, and here's a link if you want to check it out for yourself to see what caused this traffic surge, you know, go here now. It wasn't a sales pitch, it was just like, hey, you know what, if you're a bit curious to see what caused our website to just, you know, fold like a tent, well, here's the video that caused that problem. So I'm sure it got a few people clicking through and checking it out as well.
Well, Jason, I think we've gone a lot longer than I thought I was going to have you here for. So
my brain is picked dry at this point, I think.
Yeah, I mean, this is a fantastic call. I always enjoy talking with you so much.
Mm-hmm. Really, and likewise.
I want to thank you for spending the time, because there's so many good lessons learned. And I have interviewed a lot of people and have worked with a lot of people on these type of launches, but, you know, you covered some ground here that, you know, hasn't been covered in our prior interviews. And so I'm really thankful for you spending this time with us and walking through. And again, I want to congratulate you on just a very, an incredibly well-orchestrated launch. I mean, you put together a killer product, an excellent product, and you put together an excellent reason why people should buy it. And you did a great job of educating them. You did a great job of creating the anticipation. And you did some huge numbers.
Mm-hmm.
So congratulations again.
Thank you.
And thanks so much for talking to me and sharing some of your well-earned secrets with us.
Oh, you're very welcome. And once again, you know, it wasn't like you called me out of the blue and said, hey, I'd love to pick your brain for an hour and 48 minutes as I watch the clock here. I mean, you know, we've developed a relationship and we're buddies, and obviously had we not have met a couple of years ago and had we not have maintained dialogue, you know, I wouldn't have been as willing to put it all out there and spend an hour and 48 minutes with somebody on the phone line. So it just goes back to the process we talked about earlier about, you know, putting your seeds in the ground and nurturing them and building those relationships. And those relationships can pan out in many, many more ways than one. I mean, I haven't sent you any traffic yet, or I haven't put any money in your pocket, but obviously I'm helping you in other ways and contributing in other ways that are going to benefit you directly, because, you know, we're friends, we have a relationship on a personal and business level, and that can just do so many things for your business, you know, in a launch, you know, kind of scenario or other scenarios like we're talking about today.
Yet another good lesson you're imparting for people. It's fantastic. Thanks a lot, Jason. I really appreciate it.
Hey, you're welcome.
And now I'm gonna go get on with my family vacation.
Yeah, I gotta pick up my child from daycare, so I gotta run too. So perfect timing here.
So thanks a lot, Jason. Really appreciate it.
My pleasure.